Advent. Four short weeks preceding the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord. And already we're more there than here. Advent is a time of watching and a time of waiting. But not waiting in the sense that we think of waiting in line or waiting when we're sitting in traffic. That impatient, annoyed, let me get out of here kind of waiting. But rather a watching and anticipating for what is to come. We heard through the prophet Isaiah a notion of what it is we wait for. A time in which God's people shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. A time when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Those words were written a very long time ago, and we seem to be nowhere near making progress in fulfilling Isaiah's vision. Was he just a full-hearted idealist, impractical and otherworldly? Or is it possible, that he's the only realist of his age, and that his vision penetrates deep into a reality that we so easily miss? Isaiah had a vision of God's vision for the world and for us as God's children. And Isaiah, you know, he actually believed what he said. He believed that this message was from God and that the sickness which overcomes us and draws us toward our violent insecurities, that it must be stopped. And he felt the time was near. And yet his time has passed and countless generations since then. Now, the future of our planet has always depended upon people, at least a remnant of people, a smattering of folks like Isaiah, crazy, fixing their hearts and their minds and their souls on an alternative vision for our world, on a landmark established by God. And without such a vision, Isaiah tells us, the people will perish. There's something that separates Isaiah from others who would call for a looking to a new day, a promise of a sweet by and by, a time when there would no longer be disease or death or famine or poverty or war. Because Isaiah just wasn't hoping for some future event. Rather, he was really speaking about the here and now. We oftentimes think about prophetic voices as being something like soothsayers or prognosticators, folks that can predict what's going to happen in the future. But that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy speaks to about the time in which we live now and what is taking shape in our midst. In the translation of Isaiah, which was read for us this morning, it's the New Revised Standard Version, it says, in days to come, in days to come. Now that could suggest sometime out there. How many days? Just a few? Or a lot? The literal Hebrew translates in the back of the days. That clears it up, doesn't it? In the back of the days. So if here's the days, and here's the back of the days, well, is the back of the days farther in the future or nearer the present? The sense of the Hebrew is that it's nearer the present. Yeah. In days to come, the back of the days are, we're rubbing up against it right now. I mean, it's about to happen. I was laughing and joking and anticipating this morning with Jill Peters. Many of you know Jill. Before she was married, she was Jill Frazier, Tom and Carol's daughter. And she's due to deliver her child next week. Pregnancy is an image of Advent, of a time being right, the time being ripe for something to happen, in that sense of it's here almost, but not yet. Jill said she could really relate to that sense of in the back of days. In other words, in the midst of the present. I heard someone say not long ago that they had been up before dawn, not by choice, but they couldn't sleep, and they watched the sun come up, much to their surprise that it was that time already, and that person said, oh, I guess it's tomorrow. I guess it's tomorrow, which of course is today. In the back of days, in the midst of the present moment ripe with God's presence. The prophet's gift is not so much to magically see into the future, but to have a spirit that discerns the mystery of the present. The mystery is that our history and our lives are lived in a much larger reality than we usually contemplate. It's hard for us to look beyond ourselves. Well, maybe we can look a couple of people ahead or maybe a day or two ahead, but it's hard for us to see ourselves in this larger reality. It's not just about us. There's more than meets the eye. And the day when people shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, it's nearer than we can imagine, although it seems so far away. Can you believe that? Can you actually begin to even conceive that as possible? Or is it just a wild-eyed, prophetic, dreamy, impractical idealism? We know Jesus certainly didn't think so. Jesus believed, as Isaiah believed, that this was God's desire for all people. To take all of our acts of hatred and animosity and violence and to turn them into ways of peace, of unity, of growth and nourishment. Jesus, in fact, staked his very life on it. That is a question for us this Advent. Can we watch? Can we be ready? Can we claim this vision and move toward that vision in the midst of the present? You know, there's a tendency when we say wait that it seems like it's a rather passive thing to do. I mean, when you're waiting in that long line to purchase gifts, how many people were out there on Friday? Good for you. Good for you. Well, Black Friday. Saw this really cute thing, and it says, for Christians, the only Black Friday is the one before Easter. But we tend to be passive in that waiting. We just patiently stand there, sit there in traffic. But our waiting does not have to be passive. Think about our gospel lesson, watching and waiting. You don't know when the thief might come. You better not be passive, but be alert. Notice when something happens. Who knows when God will come into our midst in a way that we haven't quite seen before, and we could miss it. We're reminded in our text today that what we do while we wait is of crucial significance. On this first Sunday of Advent, the prophet Isaiah is trying to tell us that God has set a beautiful vision before us, but life is short. And along the way to that vision, we have a lot of work to do. We have broken some things along the way. Some of those was intentional, and other times it was not. Some relationships that we have been in have been broken, and responsibilities we have been messed up. And the brokenness is at all levels in our families, in our churches, our communities, and our nation, and the world. And we could be overwhelmed by it all. But what we do matters. It matters that we can make it right. It matters that we can acknowledge it before God and each other so that we can begin to bring healing where brokenness lies. If we believe these words of the prophet, then we watch for, prepare for, and hope for, and work for God's kingdom of justice and peace and love. Right now, in the midst of our time, in the back of days. And you know, we might just make it. For the time is closer than you think. Amen.